Good morning for a second time this morning. I'd like to call the meeting of the House Finance Committee to order. Let the record reflect that it is 9:02 a.m. on the first day of May, Wednesday, 2024. Present at the committee table, we have Representative Josephson, Representative Galvin, Representative Stapp, Representative Colomb, Representative Ortez, Representative Kronk, Representative Tomaszewski, Co-Chair Foster, Co-Chair Johnson, myself, Co-Chair Edgman. I believe we'll be joined here shortly by Representative Hannon. So, as always, we ask everyone to mute their phones if they would, please. Getting fairly customary. We have a limited amount of time this morning, but a fairly busy task in front of us because our goal is to present the first committee substitute on the capital budget, which is Senate Bill 187. And we'd like to get the bill adopted as a working document, walk the committee through the changes as best we can. There may be questions we can't address because there's a lot of detail in a 63-page document. Set an amendment deadline and then do the best we can. Essentially all of this in maybe a little bit over an hour because we've got the floor at 10:30. I think we can go over 10 o'clock a little bit. With that, I'd like to ask my Chief of Staff, Amber Lake, to come to the table. And as she's getting situated, let me just sort of preface where we're at, how we got to here. You all know that we have had a number of initial hearings on the capital budget. As of late, we have had the OMB director, who's in the audience with us today, give a presentation on behalf of the governor. We've had my counterpart down the hallway, staff, Chief of Staff, Tim Grusendorf, come before the committee and walk us through the Senate additions. And as I mentioned a moment ago, the task this morning is to sort of bring together what we've gotten from there to here, and also to remind the committee that the capital budget is a document that strives to balance a lot of things. And obviously, we're getting fairly close to getting out of here in a couple of weeks. We calculate we've got about a week work on the capital budget in order to meet our agreement, our preset agreement with the other body to get this document over to them by May 9th. So that gives us, again, about a week to do our work here to get it to the floor, maybe a little less than a week, but we've also got the weekend to work as well. The agreement between the House and the Senate was fairly rigid, you might say. We agreed to set amounts for statewide items for other items as defined in the bill, and with a focus on life, health, safety, education, energy, and housing. And we did our best to stay within those guidelines. I think as this bill moves out of the committee and roughly in the next week, we will have achieved that objective. And then also, to the best of our ability, again, working within the confines of a lot of things, federal, state, matching dollars, you know, a beefed up Infrastructure Act program and a number of other things. We strive to find balance and equity as best we can. And that is never perfectly achieved year in and year out. We all do our best. But as there is a capital budget before us today, we hope there's another capital budget next year and following years as well. Before I turn to Ms. Lake, I just want to say that we're going to do our best to entertain the questions that we can. We have online, along with the OMB director here in person, we also have online representatives from HFC and from the university. But there may be questions we cannot address this morning. We'll come back to those. We'll have a very sufficient and robust deliberation on this bill, obviously an amendment process. So we'll come back to anything that might not get attended to this morning. I'll probably reiterate this at the very end as well. As we set the amendment deadline, Amory will send out email here to all of your offices to give you more details on how to submit amendments. And we want to get that underway as soon as we can as well, too. So with that, I don't think I've missed anything. And if I have, we'll get to it later. May I, Representative Foster, ask for a motion to adopt the version before us as a working document?
Yes, Representative Edgman, I move Finance House CS for Senate Bill 187, which is 33-GS2491/Y, as a working document.
Hearing no objections, We will adopt a version as described as a working document for the committee. Ms. LaLake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, co-chairs Foster and Johnson, members of the committee. My name is Amory LaLake, staff to co-chair Edgman and the House Finance Committee. The plan today was to walk you through the major changes to Senate Bill 187 with a focus on statewide and regional priorities. If you do have specific questions about district projects, those can be discussed with the project sponsor offline. To begin, we did not remove any Senate items with one exception, and that was by the request of a senator. It was a district project that he changed to. We did not remove any governor's items. I'll also note that the Senate did fund a large portion of their capital budget through FY24. So there are some items you'll see listed in both sections 1 and 4 of the bill. If you don't see a statewide or district project funded at the full amount, please don't panic. It's easiest to pay attention to the total add, which I'll try to point out for statewide items that are represented in the bill. And also refer you to 3 reports created by the Legislative Finance Division can sort of help with that confusion. All of these reports can be found online at aklege.gov or the Legislative Finance Division's website. If it pleases the committee, I'll walk you through the statewide regional items added in CS.
Not seeing anything before the committee, please do so.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As I said, all of the changes were in Section 1 of the bill. We will start off on page 3, lines 9 through 11. Alaska Energy Authority, round 16, renewable energy project grants. The House funded $10,302,045 in addition to the Senate's $4 million, for a total of $14,302,045. That funds through Project 8 on the Renewable Energy Fund list. Page 4, line 7, you'll find grants to named recipients, which includes House district items and statewide regional items added by the House. Those begin on page 4, lines 16 through 18. With $2,830,000 for the Alaska Addiction Rehabilitation Services Residential Expansion Project.
Make that millions, 2.8 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. 2.83 million for the Alaska Addiction Rehabilitation Services Residential Expansion Project. Page 5, lines 9 and 10. The House added $500,000 to the Senate's $1.5 million for the Blood Bank of Alaska Donor Testing Laboratory. These are one of those projects you'll also see the Senate's add in Section 4. The House is reflected in Section 1. Page 5, lines 28 through 30. The House added $670,000 to the Senate's $750,000 for the Iditarod Trail Committee Sustainability Project for a total of $1.42 million. Page 5, lines 31 and 32. The House added $4,535,000 to the Interior Gas Utility for natural gas main extensions. Page 7, lines 3 through 5. The House included $3.5 million to the South Central Foundation to design, construct, and equip a crisis center. We'll move on to page 7, line 8, where you'll find grants to municipalities, which also contain a number of the House district and statewide regional items. Those statewide regional projects include page 8, line 32 and 33. $2.5 million for the Mat-Su Borough for flood and erosion mitigation for susceptible roads. Page 9, lines 4 and 5, $2.5 million to the Mat-Su Borough to maintain and enhance local fisheries. Next, we'll move on to the Department of Education and Early Development. On page 10, lines 17 through 19, the House added $26,570,936 to the Department of Education and Early Development School Major Maintenance Grant Fund. with the Senate's $36,190,217, we're at a total of $62,761,729 to fund through Project 6 on the school major maintenance list. You'll find the Senate's addition in Section 4 of the bill. So you'll only see the separate houses add in Section 1.
A slight correction to Project 26.
Yeah. Through Project 26?
Yeah. I think I heard you say 6, but maybe I didn't hear you correctly.
26.
Yeah.
That's the first page of the school major maintenance list. Next, we'll go to the Department of Revenue. Page 15, lines 28 and 29. You'll see $7.5 million to the Department of Revenue for the dividend application information system replacement. Page 16, lines 4 and 5. We added $3 million to the AHFC weatherization program with the Senate's $7 million. That's a total of $10 million for weatherization. Page 16, lines 24 and 25. We added $1 million to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation, AHFC's statewide housing program development program. With the Senate's $3 million, that's a $4 million total add. Next, we will travel to the University of Alaska. In UA, page 31, lines 19 through 21. We added two projects in UA deferred maintenance based on the priority list. So our $2,192,000, in addition to the Senate's $26 million brings us to a total of $28,817,000 for university deferred maintenance, and that's through Project 8 on their deferred maintenance list. Those are reflected on page 31, lines 19 through 21, $1,194,400 to the University of Alaska's Matsu campus for campus-wide electrical, mechanical, and interior systems, roof, fire, and campus interiors. That's for campus-wide mechanical, electrical, and interior systems. The next project is page 31, lines 22 through 24. That's $998,000 to the University of Alaska Anchorage Prince William Sound campus for mechanical, electrical, fire, roofs, campus interiors. Page 31, lines 25 and 29. Reflects a fund source change of $5 million from university receipts to unrestricted general funds for a total of $10 million in unrestricted general funds for phase 3 of the Alaska Drones Program. Page 31, lines 27 through 29, we restored funding for the governor's request of $2.2 million for the University of Alaska Fairbanks Alaska Rail Belt and Carbon Capture and Sequestration Project. Page 32, line 6, we're next to the judiciary. We added $4.9 million for the Palmer Courthouse expansion. That's in addition to the Senate's $2.3 million for a total of $7.2 million for the Palmer Courthouse expansion. That also is reflected, their $2.3 in Section 4 of the bill. In total, the House added $103,693,500 for a total general fund budget of $552,333,333. That's the current total in UGF. In designated general funds, $72,156,700. In other state funds, $227,622,965. And in federal funds, $3,174,017,557 billion. For a total capital budget of $4,046,352,600. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Right. Beginning with Representative Josephson, I expect there'll be a round of questions or comments. Representative Josephson.
Actually, a softball, Mr. Chairman. Through the chair, Ms. LaLake, on page 8, can you repeat what you highlighted on page 8?
I highlighted on page 8, lines 32 and 33, $2.5 million for Mat-Su Borough flood and erosion mitigation for susceptible roads. Page 9, lines 4 and 5, $2.5 million to the Mat-Su Borough to maintain and enhance local fisheries.
Thank you.
Through the chair.
Other comments, questions? Representative Galvin.
Thank you. Through the chair, on page 16, I think it's line 24. You could review that as well.
Pardon me, page 16, line 24 and 25. Would you review that part as well, please?
Through the chair, Representative Galvin, on page 16, lines 24 and 25, we added $1 million to the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation's statewide housing development program for a total of $4 million.
Thank you.
And on that topic, it was our understanding, only for us to sort of learn later, I think in the throes of it all yesterday, that the $1 million we were adding, we thought was the entire funding. Turns out there was $3 million that was in the other body. Many, many details in the document. And so that now becomes $4 million. And it's a program through HFC that allows the corporation to work with the Mental Health Trust Authority, the university, the Department of Natural Resources, in an effort to identify, possibly finance, possibly even to acquire, if it turns out the way, land that would lead to housing development and, hopefully the building and expanding of residential housing units across the state. There are a number of parcels out there that really are not being maximized. And so that's the intent of this effort. Again, the House is adding $1 million to what the Senate had, $3 million, so it's now $4 million. It's statewide an effort. You could say, I think, without much pushback, that this is probably centered more around the Rail Belt area than it is out in sort of the outlying areas where land ownership is not state-centered as much as it might be in some swaths of land within the Rail Belt. So maybe a little bit more you weren't asking for, but I just wanted to clarify that. Representative Ortiz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Lake, you said at the outset that the governor's budget wasn't reduced. And that makes good sense. He's the chief executive. My question, though, is it was my understanding that in the initial Senate CS, the governor's budget was reduced to a certain amount of level. So as a part of this is a question, as a part of the grand scheme of the deal, was the deal that what they took out, it would be the House's responsibility to put back in? Is that kind of how it worked?
Through the chair, Representative Ortiz, the Senate did, as part of the agreement, reduce the governor's items by a little over $50 million. It was really up to the discretion of the House if we wanted to restore funding to any of those governor's items, and we did choose to restore funding to one.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Representative Josephson.
Through the chair, I couldn't hear Ms. LaLake's last word. So she said, you said, we did restore the governor's funding to...
Through the chair, Representative Josephson, one project.
And that project was which?
That project is on page, through the chair, 31, lines 27 and 29, $2.2 million for UAF, Alaska Rail Belt, and Carbon Capture and Sequestration Project.
I guess just to sort of recap, our agreement, the House and the Senate's agreement, was to fund the capital budget at $550 in UGF, which would accompany some $3 billion in federal funding and other funding sources. The governor, when he originally submitted his capital budget, I think it was $303 million in UGF. And traditionally, if you go back into time, the capital budget gets constructed by having input from the executive branch, certainly the House and the Senate. Speaking of balance, and perhaps, I don't know if equity is the right word, but everyone gets to have a hand in the building of the budget. And so we worked primarily our Senate counterparts did with the governor in sort of trimming back his needs, and then allowing both bodies to contribute to where we're at today.
It's perfect.
Okay, not seeing any additional comments or questions before the committee. Representative Galvin.
Well, thank you very much, Co-Chair. I feel I need a little time to digest this, and there are a few pieces that likely are here, but I just haven't found them yet. So, and I don't want to waste the committee time to go through my particular questions at this moment. But I would appreciate a little bit of time to digest it, having seen it for the first moment just now. And I do thank you very much for all of your work. And it's a kind of a relief to know that there's not going to be a lot of struggles, although we don't know how we're going to necessarily fund all of this yet. And I don't think we've come to an agreement with that. But I do appreciate that it sounds like the governor is... we've met the governor's needs and the Senate's needs and then the House majority's needs. So I appreciate that.
Very good. Any additional questions, Representative Stapp? I see your head raising there. No, or comments? And again, obviously this is the start of a process that's going to take several days, so we'll come back to a lot of these items. So with that... next housekeeping item is to let you all know that we're setting an amendment deadline by 10 a.m. on Friday. Today's Wednesday morning, so that's 2 days from now. There will be an email that will be sent out to all your offices with the particulars and how to work through the amendment process. And with that, Representative Foster, you might get the gavel back a little earlier than we anticipated. I'd like to thank everyone for indulgence. And with that, Co-Chair Foster, I think I'm going to hand the gavel back to you.
Great. Thank you very much, Representative Edgman. We had anticipated using the full hour on this, and so we'll take a brief at ease while I check with my staff to see if there's anything that we might want to do. Actually, I just got word from my staff. We're going to go ahead and adjourn this meeting. So we'll come back at 1:30, and at that meeting, we will have HB 307, which is Integrated Transmission Systems. We'll have SB 67, PFAS, used for firefighting disposal, and we will also have HB 196, Food Stamp Program Eligibility. And I think that should be all for the day. It's possible we could add items under bills previously heard, but if we do, we will contact your offices probably by email to let you know. So with that, if there's no Representative Josephson.
I'll take it offline. Thank you.
Okay, do we have any other questions? Okay, seeing none, House Finance will be adjourned at 9:26 a.m. Thanks.